Now we're joined this morning by IDNR Director Natalie Phelps Finney. We've got two questions for you. Hope you're having a good morning. One, and number two, do you have your turkey yet? Or no?
I'm having a great morning. I did not do any turkey hunting. Not going to do any because we just haven't seen turkey on our farm last few years. We started seeing a little bit this year, a couple, but just really haven't seen any, so we're not turkey hunting.
All right. Well, we know they're not down in the hollers at this point, because, you know, I have a hard time understanding all the implications of flooding, because water is such an integral part of recreation in Illinois, and with the flooding we have in southern Illinois, that I assume you've seen some substantial damage at our parks.
Yeah, we've had to have some park closures, you know, for public safety reasons, of course. And so, yeah, it's no fun for anybody, but we know where we live, and this is part of it.
All right. So what's on your agenda when it comes to that? I mean, how do you go about evaluating and repairing when it's so widespread? I mean, I think of the rivers, and, you know, there's docks and here and there. I mean, you've got the in Bay City. I mean, you got a dock right there. It's very isolated, but it suffers damage just as much as the most popular ones.
Yeah, like I said, it's a mess for sure. We're so fortunate to have people, you know, and the DNR staff that have been around for so many years. I mean, people, once they get to DNR, they stay here, especially our site staff. And, you know, they're pros at this. They know what to expect. They know how to handle it and how to get things done quickly. Some of the biggest messes, you see it down at Horseshoe Lake, and also down in at Fort Defiance. When those waters finally recede, you talk about the mud and mess that the team has to go in and get their tractors and scrape off. So it's, but like I said, they're old hats at it, but it's still very difficult.
Well, I'm looking forward to getting an update when because you don't know what's damaged if it's underwater. Probably going to be roads there as well by the time we get it all, when this stuff drains out. Yeah, and we'll have to pick up sticks from the winter when the water goes down if it doesn't carry the sticks away with them. We got a lot of cleaning up to do. I'm curious about this because you and I and the governor talked about it end of last year, saying, you know, we're kind of open, Sahara Woods, but you've got a bigger one planned. You got like a red carpet type of, you know, like the Blue Angels flying overhead. You got something big, right? When's that going to be? Do you know yet?
We are in the talks now. We're looking at early May, so hopefully here in the next month. We're hoping to have a grand opening. As you know, the governor's schedule is very difficult to coordinate, so we are in talks with the governor's office and getting that scheduled, and he's very excited about it.
All right, so next month.
We're hoping early May.
Yeah.
That's the target.
Well, the water should be down by then.
I'm hoping. I don't think they have any problems at Sahara Woods on the trails. I think we should be good there. So,
well, if it's not flowing over somewhere, that's the rarity. It was interesting because Dale and I were talking about this. Senator Dale Fowler and I were talking about it off the air this morning, just chatting before we went on the air. And I told him you were coming on, and, you know, we were talking about Sahara Woods, and used to go running around there a lot, as I've told you before, but he was saying, you know, if you get a minute, would you tell Natalie, thank you for taking care of the 20 parks in my district? He asked me to pass that along.
Oh, that's very nice. Yeah. He's got them. He likes to let everybody know, as you well know, he's got more parks than any other legislator. So
that's right.
He's quite welcome. We work well together.
All right. Now this is a difficult story and I don't understand all the implications. Now, I have a copy of an audit from the Illinois Department of Natural Resources that many people have brought to my attention. But, you know, when I look at some of the stories that were published about this, I mean, and just recently, for instance, here's an example. The U.S. Department of Interior confirmed this month that DNR Director Natalie Phelps Finney discovered and self-reported fiscal management failures after being appointed to her role in 2023. DNR's self-reporting prompted federal officials to conduct a detailed audit and review. Do you want to pick it up from right there, Natalie?
Yeah, sure, Tom. Yeah, this was, you know, this is always difficult things to do, but you gotta shed light on things and while we were trying to fix it, like, we got to make sure everybody's on the same page with this. So there, and I just want to, the most important thing I want to explain, because there's been a lot of stories out there, a lot of even articles that have said missing money. There is absolutely no missing money. In fact, if you actually read the full advisory, there is no missing funds. It talks about risk of fraud, mismanagement, and that's all true. When you're dealing with $100 million plus of federal money, and you have sloppy practices, you have a very high risk. You're opening yourself up for fraud. That is absolutely true. However, they have found no fraud at all. And this is not an audit finding yet. This is a risk advisory. So this is basically like if you have poor credit, this is them telling, this is actually within Department of Interior putting out a bulletin to their own people, all the agencies within DOI saying, hey, if you're going to do business with Illinois DNR, just be aware they're a high-risk grantee. That's what that advisory said. So again, no missing funds. In fact, we spent way less. We drew down less money than we should have. So we spent way more in state funds than we needed to because we just weren't flowing that money in. Again, it's all because of poor practices, poor fiscal controls. And this is, Tom, I've said this on your show over and over again. When you have 20 years of being gutted as an agency, then followed by a budget impasse, and then COVID, you have the perfect storm to set up problems like these. And it's not unique just to DNR. You know, this has been difficult for a lot of state agencies. So I caught it. We knew we had problems. I was like, let's report this and let's get our stuff right. So we have corrective actions in place, and the federal government is very pleased with where we're at. But we will have a final. They're finishing the audit now. We will have a final finding, and it may be the same finding because, as I said, the practices then, FY21-22, were not good.
Before you took over as IDNR director.
That's correct. I came in 21 as deputy director and was over state parks, did legislative work. I was digging into budget stuff and realized the fiscal house was a complete mess. But it wasn't until 23 when I got the full picture of it and could realize how bad things were once I took over.
Which bad word did you use?
I thought some bad words.
Yeah, you did.
I would have too.
Because and it wouldn't have to be my mistake. I would have still had a high speed come apart. I think we'll use that as a colloquialism at this point.
Tom, as my grandmother always told me, Natalie, if you think it, you've already sinned in your heart. You've said it.
I'm
guilty.
I'm really in deficit spending in that category then. So,
I understand.
Point blank question, because I want to address people who've come to me with this audit and said that $118 million went missing from the Illinois Department of Natural Resources. You saw that number reported too, correct, Natalie?
Yes, I saw the number.
True?
Yeah, and it's not true. And I just, Tom, it's amazing that we live in this day and age where you can just throw out, you can say anything you want to say. And, you know, some people check you on it, some don't. And, you know, everything's fake news. You can pull up the DOI. I mean, you can pull it up, the risk advisor. I've got the numbers actually right in front of me of what's awarded, what's expended, all the details of what it gives. There is no missing money. Remember, when it says awarded, here's what people don't understand. When something says awarded, that means that's what's available to you. That doesn't mean that's what they just hand you over in cash. You don't just get whatever grant you get. If it's a $100 million grant, you don't get $100 million. Here, DNR, here's your money. Hope everything goes well. No, no, no. You have to, everything you spend, then you have to go back to the government and say, okay, we've spent this money. Here's what we want to draw down. And you have to show proof of that.
Yeah, here's my receipts. And the expenditure was qualified.
Yeah, so I think what they're doing is looking at the difference, the delta between the $288 million and the $169 expended, and they're saying, well, where's the other $118 million? Well, it was never drawn down. That's not how grants work. You don't get this lump sum of money.
All right, when it comes to money, there was another subject, and, you know, and it's gotten so much worse, and the last time I had an experience with it, it was bad enough. I never felt it, you know, going down and blowing down the Illinois River that, you know, that I had to dodge fish. Asian carp. Now, you had a project to protect some of the additional waterways from Asian carp. You've got concerns about funding going forward for that.
Yeah, so this all stems from, you know, the Trump administration, you know, in late January when the executive order started going out. You talk about mass chaos for all the states, our state the same, our agency. We had 100, you talk, there's a number, $117 million or so, that was held up in federal funding at that point in time because of the executive orders. Now, a lot of these are pass-through grants or like the abandoned mine land. We've talked about that money, $75 million a year for 15 years, which we're in year three of. That money's so important. It's right here in southern Illinois, most of it, cleaning up old coal mines. We're putting people to work. All of that was frozen for several weeks, and it just created chaos. You had contractors not knowing what to do. Should we continue work? Should we not? We didn't know what to tell them. Fortunately, most of that money is unfrozen, but there are still you know, talked about this DEI and the Green New Initiative and other things they continue to look at. And even the Department of Interior, you know, the people on the ground tell us they're unsure about our money. So this is not a political game. This is a real, and it's very scary for us to how do you budget, right? So when you're looking at a project like Brandon Road, Interbasin Project, this is the largest Army Corps project, $1.14 billion, the most expensive project in the history of the Army Corps. Illinois is the non-federal share, the non-federal partner in this. We had to sign an agreement with Corps. We're on the hook for 10% of everything for Brandon Road. Construction all the way into perpetuity for everything that goes wrong and 20 years down the road for Brandon Road, 10%. That's a huge responsibility for the state of Illinois. And Governor Pritzker has been very adamant about protecting the taxpayers. And so in coordination with the governor's office, I sent that letter saying we are not going to close on the riverbed rights for this project until we get assurances from the White House that they are not going to stop the $236 million that's been appropriated by Congress. That's been appropriated. Let the money flow.
Do you talk to Congressman Mike Bost about this?
I have not talked to Congressman Bost about this. No, sir.
Okay. I'm going to give him a ring. So here's questions from our listeners. Would you ask the DNR director if they can create a senior or disabled senior special deer season, similar to the youth season, where it would be easier weather-wise for someone like my dad to get out and deer hunt?
Yeah, I think, you know what, I think it's a great idea. I'm not a biologist. I yield to my biologists on most of these things, but sometimes they have reasons why we should or couldn't do something. But this sounds like something reasonable that we should look, and we definitely should consider this. So I will bring this up. We just, Tom, are in the middle of, legislative session here, a lot of stuff moving, and we have some great changes coming for our farmers. When it comes to deer nuisance, and we're making a couple of tweaks to the youth season. So we certainly do make these changes, and I think this is one of those we should consider, and I'm happy to hear ideas.
All right, what are your ideas when it comes to, because deer nuisance and grapes with our wineries? I talked to my friend down in Tunnel Hill, and they're like, man, it's bad.
Yeah. So, our like I said, our biologists, they do all these population surveys and track the number of take every year and see how it's trending. And, they realize that the deer population, we've had an increase we've heard a lot the last couple of years. We've had a lot of town halls with the farmers. I personally have had people call me, text me, come up to me, even at the grocery store, right, and say, hey, we got to do something about this. So I sit down with my team this year, and I get thoughts in the middle of the night. This is what happens to me. I wake up around 2 or 3 in the morning, and these things that are haunting me, I guess that's when my brain works. So these are the ideas that came to me, Tom, is that for deer nuisance. So when you get a nuisance permit, you're taking deer in the middle of the summer, right, during the growing season. That's not ideal because you're orphaning fawns, right? That's when they've got their babies at their side. It's just not. That's why we have the hunting season in the fall and in the winter, right?
Right.
That's the proper time to hunt. But we understand. So we have this nuisance permit. So when we got to thinking about it, what's a way? Because the real problem is a lot of these farmers are not hunting their ground. And we understand if they're not hunters, but let's incentivize them to hunt their ground because it's a local problem. It's a local population problem. They've created a refuge on their farms for these deer. So what we've come up with is if they can go through the normal nuisance permit program where they can show crop damage, they get their usually 10 tags, and we've been too restrictive through the years, so we've gone back and said, okay, you'll get your full 10 tags. That means you can take 10 doe from your farm. If they do that and they can show that they have taken at least 50% of that, if they've harvested at least 50, five of the 10, then they'll be eligible for a new program where they can say, okay, we want to get ahead of this. We want to hunt our ground. And they're going to get extra tags. They're going to get 10 more tags during the normal hunting season. They can use it during any season. They can gun, bow, anything they want. And if they can show that they took 80%, if they filled 8 of their 10 tags, then they will automatically get 5 nuisance permits at the beginning of the growing season. Because the problem is, by the time they prove damage to their crops, it's already significant enough, right? So it's a two-prong approach. You're decreasing the population during the appropriate time, during hunting season, and then they get those tags early in hand so that if they still have a problem, they can get it before so much damage.
You know,
and then you start it all over again.
It's interesting that because you're looking at this rolling in more if you need them. David Severin, state representative, you know, had one of these meetings he attended where the people had come out, and that was the subject matter, deer and destruction.
Yes.
The hall wasn't big enough to fit everybody in. That's just how many people were interested in that. And here's another question from Pam and John. Good morning, Tom. Would you please ask the IDNR director if a pollinator crop can be planted along Spillway Road where the trees have been cleared? Thank you. It's an interesting idea there, Natalie.
That is a great idea. We're always looking for opportunities for pollinators. I'm not familiar with exactly the details, logistics of that road, of anything that would be a reason why we couldn't. Otherwise, I'd say it's a fantastic idea and something I can inquire about.
Here's another question. Good morning. I'm wondering if I can fish on the bank and with my kayak on Little Grassy Lake. And the answer is yes. You got to have a fishing license. I'm right there, aren't I?
I believe, again, I don't know all these details. Every site has its own, you know, usually restrictions or whatever posted. So.
Yeah.
I hesitate to say yes or no on that, but it sounds reasonable.
I'm going to go ahead because I checked.
Okay, good. Yeah, thank you, Tom.
Okay. And if that's wrong, then it's because I said so, and that was because I was told two people, Crab Orchard Wildlife Refuge.
Okay.
So, and I can name them and give you phone numbers if that's necessary.
And while we're on Little Grassy Lake, I think it's important to explain. I've had a lot of personal calls, text messages. That is going to be dewatered. I think it's already mostly or maybe they're dewatered.
Well, not after this weekend, it's not.
Well, right. I don't know what they've got going on there, but they're doing some permanent improvements, and that's going to require dewatering for an extended period of time. We are relocating our fishery staff that are there in the meantime. But people, I've had a lot of questions. Please don't get rid of Little Grassy. We're not getting rid of it. It's improvements that are coming, and it requires dewatering for a time.
Yeah. Well, it rewatered it this weekend because it's Little Grassy. I mean, there's five lakes that are all hooked together, and the water is running is an understatement when you get 7 and 8 inches in the immediate proximity. Now, I've only got time for one more question, then we've got to leave, Natalie, and I've got a ton of questions our listeners are sending in. They're constantly hitting with more questions, but this is a quick one from Rick. He's been patient enough for me to ask, what is the chronic wasting disease outlook for Illinois deer herd this year?
Yeah, so, prion diseases are very complicated, and we'll get into the details of that as a healthcare provider. They're scary for humans. This is a prion disease, and it's chronic wasting disease in deer that basically riddles their brain with holes, and they die a very, long and difficult death. Humans can get it by eating contaminated meat. So this is a huge problem. It continues to spread through the deer herd in our northern counties. It was in just one county, and now it's in multiple counties in the north. And it is edging downwards. And I know we had some neighbors to our east in Indiana, not too far from here, that had a positive CWD this last hunting season. So it will be here. I'm cautious eating meat. Make sure I would get it tested. We have a sharpshooting program that tries to contain the herd and contain the spread up north. But if you look at Wisconsin, they got rid of their CWD program years ago. It was voted out, and it's 50+% of all deer throughout the state are positive for CWD. So
nice.
It's not going away. It's very, very contagious among the deer. Luckily, I just read there's a potential vaccine in Canada being developed. That'd be life-changing. We put out feed with that in. It'd be amazing. So let's keep our fingers crossed.
All right, I'm going to try to shoehorn this in right now because it's too good of a question from Greg on the American Monument text line to leave and lay. Do we have an IDNR app? And can we please get a credit card type license for fishing for like Tennessee and Alabama instead of just a piece of paper? Do we have an IDNR app?
I don't think we have an app, and I'm going to be sad if I'm wrong about that, but I will get back to you on that, Tom. I don't think we have an app. We have a great website that's been redone, but as far as the vendor that we use for to be able to do all the things that they want to make it more, modern technology, right? We understand, we hear you, and we are actually have been talking with other states. I've been online myself looking at other states, how they do it, the ones that do it well, the ones that don't do it. We're getting ready to put out a request for proposal for a bid to have a new vendor because what we have is awful. It's awful. But the process is not simple. It's a long process you have to go through, but we're very close to putting out a bid for that.
There is an Illinois app, but it's not from the state of Illinois. It's from Pringle Technologies, so for chips.
Okay.
Outdoor Illinois, okay, presented by the Illinois Conservation Foundation, is an app intended to provide outdoor enthusiasts informational related to game fishing activity, state of Illinois. It reflects the Department of Natural Resource hunting and fishing provided capability set reminders, but it's not yours, but there is one.
Right. ICF is statutorily created. It's our fundraising arm. So I forgot they do have an app, but we as the official IDNR do not.
Good.
That's right. Yep.
We got a lot of stuff this morning. Natalie Phelps-Finney, I took a lot of your time. Thank you, Natalie.
Great. Thank you, Tom. It's always a pleasure.